Awesome. Good morning. How's everyone doing? It's so good to be here. So I'm Made. I'm usually in Ruffy, as Tom said, which is why you don't get to see me. So if I haven't met you before, it's good to see many new faces. I'd love to catch up with you after. And I'm here with my wonderful wife, Ife, and she's going to be sharing a word. So it's interesting. We, as leaders, we spent some time just pressing into the Lord, and we went away praying and seeking what the Lord had for us as a church. And there were words, and the Lord was speaking and showing us things. And one that stood out was one that Ife shared. And it really touched not just us in the room, but we felt that it's something that is going to touch the corners of the Lord's church. So I'm going to ask her to come and share the word, and then I'll speak afterwards.
Hello. Right, so as I was seeking God's face for the new year, 2024, he laid two words on my heart, and it was flowing and flourishing. And that's where he sort of started to paint a picture to me of what he wants from the church and what he's going to do for us in the new year. He gave me the scripture, John 7:38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And I sort of got a picture of this river, and it was flowing, and I could see the plants and the vegetation around the river. It was healthy, it was diverse, it was beautiful. And I felt the Lord really speak to me through that picture to say, you know, this is what he wants from his church. He wants us to flow. And as I continue to question God on the believing and why the scripture, because when we're all here, hopefully, because we believe in God, and we've heard the good news, and we believe that he is God. He is, you know, he sent his son to die for us and all of that. But I felt God really lay on my heart that this believing is an everyday kind of belief. It's not the belief that you had when you first believed, but every day coming to God and recognizing who he is and what he's done for us. It's an ongoing belief that we have every day. It's not the old faith or the old fire that we had. I'm sure there's a time when each of us can think of a time where we were maybe more on fire for God than we are now. And I feel like God is pointing his finger at that and saying, that's not what I want for my church. We need to be more on fire for him today than we were yesterday or last year or when we first believed in him. That was kind of where God drew my attention to, was just he wants our heart. And it's come through with the words that we've heard today, just that call to intimacy that God is saying, just come to me every day. Just, you know, he wants to pour so much of himself into us, but that can only happen if we come to him, if we lay everything down. And I mean, I was just thinking, just today is a Sunday. I'm sure some of us have woken up from bed, and honestly, I'm one of them too, just woken up and rushed to church, to come to church, because, you know, there's time crunch and there's things that we need to do, and we're coming to meet with God anyway. But I really felt God lay that his finger on that to say, no, you need to spend time with me first. And that's when the words will come, and that's when we can hear confirmation of what Ade is going to be speaking about, because God's already been speaking to us about it. There's just, he's just calling us to come to him for more, and that's when we see who he is. That's when we're in awe of him. And you know, Tom was just saying about one day we will see Jesus face to face. You know, we will see him, hair like wool, eyes like fire, and we will be completely captivated by his beauty. But even now, there's a revelation of God that he wants to give to each and every one of us. And we're missing out if we're not coming to him and seeing that every day. You know, Tommy's not going to need to beg for people to share words or beg for you to come to the front. We're all going to run to the front because we're desperate to worship God, because we see who he is, and we just marvel at his beauty and his majesty. And you know, he is the king of all kings, and there's no one like him. And I just really feel on my heart that that's what God wants for each and every one of us. Not some people, not the leaders, not just the elders, but for everyone, even the kids that just, you know me and love me. And then, the vegetation of running waters. Now, this is what the internet says. is defined and determined by the effect and interactions of a single factor, water flow, which governs the plant form, dominates the growth controlling factors, and defines the habitat. Essentially, what this says is that the plants around the water flow can only be what they are because of the flow of the water. And so God is calling each and every one of us to flow in him, because it determines what it looks like, what the plants, what the vegetation, what the giftings, what the miracles, signs and wonders will happen, what the discipling will look like. We'll come from our flow, from God. And one of the things that I really felt God point my eyes to as I saw this picture was that the water wasn't stagnant. And I feel like God wants to challenge each of us to search our heart for anywhere where we find stagnation. Stagnant water only breeds bacteria and fungi, and essentially it's poison. And I really feel like God is not condemnation, it's a call to intimacy. He's saying, you know, what is that place where you're stagnant? What is that place where you're not flowing in me? And bring that to me, because we all have struggles, we all have pain. And the Bible says that, you know, God has overcome the world, and that is our victory, and that's the victory that we should be walking in. You know, if there's any areas today when, even as Ade speaks, that God is pointing his finger at and saying, you know, that particular place, I want you to bring it to me. I just pray that each of us will be obedient, and we'll just let the Holy Spirit do his thing, and we bring it to Jesus and bring it to the light. And this, all we need everyone to be flowing, because we all matter. God's given us gifts and ways that we can impact the church. And your flow determines what the vegetation looks like. So yeah, flowing and flourishing in 2024.
Amen. Really good. So her word captures exactly what I'm going to be speaking about today. Flowing and flourishing. And I will do my best to fill it up. But what she shared is the key. And just before we start, if we could just bow our heads and let's pray. Yeah. Yeah, Father, we lift your name up high in this place this morning. We declare that you are the King and you are Lord. It is by your grace that we are here. It is through your salvation that we live and we will live eternally. And Father, we just pray that in this place that we will be subject to your Holy Spirit, that as we continue to hear your word just now, Lord, as if I said, where you just point to us that this is the area I want you to submit. Give us the power and the strength to submit and to follow through with these things that you are going to be speaking to us. I just pray, Father, that you would just send your spirit and you would leave no one out in this entire room. Every single person, I pray for those up on the computers, and every single person, yeah, those upstairs as well. I pray, Father, that no single person will be left out of what you want to do this morning. Thank you, Lord, and we just give ourselves to you. Yeah, just take a moment. Just open your arms or whatever. Just give your heart to Jesus this morning afresh. Just give him everything. This is not about a performance or about how eloquent I sound, but it's about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in each of us, so that we may mature and be more like Christ this morning. Let us give ourselves to him and see what he does this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this is all your plan, in Jesus' name. Awesome. So, flowing and flourishing basically cascades across a number of levels. It starts with the individual. It all starts with us, our hearts. That's where flowing starts. And as we begin to get filled, we flow out into our households, and then flow out into our church, and then we flow out into the nations. But it starts with us. If we're not flowing, nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to give a few scriptures just to describe what flowing and flourishing means from these different levels. The first level is an individual level, that is us. Psalm 1:2-3. This is something that I think about a lot. And the word is telling us, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. So at an individual level, when we have constantly the word of God in our heart and we allow it to dwell in our hearts and we think about it, we dwell on it, we pray, we're constantly seeking not our will, but the will of the living God. What is it that God wants of me today? What is it that God wants in this situation? When our heart posture is focused on God constantly, we will continue to flourish. Because we are planted in his word. And everything that we do comes from a place of the word of God and not our words. From a household perspective, just before we go. So every single person here has been called to do something great. In every person here, there is something that only you can do in the Lord in a specific way. We have been, each and every one of us has been called to something. But if we refuse to do what God has called us to do, it'll go through someone else. We'll see that in a minute. Okay? From a household perspective, Psalm 128, 1 to 4 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots round your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. So when we are flowing from an individual perspective, we start to flow into our households. If I'm not flowing, if you look at what that last verse says, yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. And it's interesting that as husbands, as fathers, there is something about us that when we are not flowing, it impacts the entire household. When I'm not flowing, it impacts my wife, it impacts my children. So when I'm in a dry place, I just need to stand back and watch, and I see things shifting in my house. And I know that it's coming from me. Because ultimately, there is an accountability that has been placed on myself for my household. So it's very important. My marriage, the buck stops with me. My children, and the word of God is very clear on how we ought to treat these different things. Okay? I'll talk about the church. What does flowing look like from the perspective of the church? And Ezekiel had a brilliant word about the river flowing from the throne of God emptying into the Dead Sea. And Ezekiel 47:12 talks about this river and its impact is similar to what we've just heard in this word this morning. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Two things stand out there, food and healing. And when the church is flourishing, there will be food for each and every one of us. There will be spiritual food, which means that people will continue to mature. People wouldn't stay in the same place. So if you met me last year and you speak to me today, there should be a difference in how I think, in how I pray, in how I encourage, in how I deal with situations in my life. There should be a difference, and that comes from food. Comes from the word of God. The other is healing, spiritual healing. When a church is healthy, there is spiritual healing. Back up, Sester. There is spiritual healing. There is salvation. Amen? We see salvation in the house of the Lord when the church is healthy. There will be people that will come forward and want to encounter. What is it that is happening in here? I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of the Lord because I see lives being transformed around me. And I see the light in people that I talk to. So there will be healing and spiritual healing in terms of salvation, but there will also be healing in terms of deliverance. There are areas of strongholds that we could have in our lives, and by the power of God, we get broken free. And this comes from the church. This comes from us being together, praying for one another. And these are the signs of a healthy church. There's also us flowing into the nations. We've got the guys from Living Water coming here, and there's going to be opportunities for us to go to the Isle of Man and potentially other places. When we go out, or even when we speak to people that we don't know from other nations, there is a pouring in to their lives, and we start to see change. But it all starts with the individual. That's why this morning we're going to focus on the individual. The individual. How do we as individuals flow in the Lord? So we're going to go back to that word, John 3, 37 to 39. And it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Okay? By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. I think this is absolutely key for us this morning, just looking at that word, and there's so many aspects of it that we're going to go into. But the first thing here to recognize is that this particular festival was the festival of the tabernacles, one of the three major festivals that the Jews celebrate till this day. And what they did in that time was they would camp in tents, not like how we do for fun, but they will camp seriously in tents to remind themselves of how they camped around the Lord and the Lord provided for them in the wilderness. And Jesus times his appearance. He comes at the end and he's speaking, because in that time, there were multiple times that they were on the edge of breaking in thirst and in hunger, and the Lord fed them through manna from heaven, and he provided water. Twice he provided water from a rock when they were absolutely thirsty. So they were in that place, probably fasting, and they could feel, and they are reading the scripture, and they could recognize that there was a time when our ancestors were thirsty. They had nothing, and the Lord brought water for them. And Jesus comes and says, "I am that water. I am that living water." So he comes at an opportune time, a specific time at the end of the festival when everyone was focused on their thirst and their need for salvation. And he comes and he says, "I am that water. I am that manna." So he's asking us to look to him this morning. So can we do that, church? In our thirst, in our challenges, can we look to him? Can we recognize that he is the living water? And he is the one that gives that living water. We can't get it from anywhere else. Anyone who believes in him, that's the only condition for living water, the only condition for receiving the Holy Spirit, which is only given by Christ. Scripture says that he will reveal what is from me. He will take what is from me and give to you. Because Jesus is the only one that gives the Holy Spirit. John says that, "I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." So only Jesus can give the Holy Spirit. The condition is to believe. Okay? Now, he's given us the Holy Spirit when we believe him, but the expectation is for us to continue to be filled with the Spirit. And it's a daily thing. We can't be filled once. We're like batteries. We need to be recharged on a daily basis. So there is an expectation for us to be rooted, planted, and in that place where we're constantly receiving from Jesus so that we can pour out to our households, to our church, and to the nations. But what I said earlier is that the Holy Spirit is that river. It's the Holy Spirit that flows out. Our hearts are channels of the Spirit. So he will work with what we have, what we give him. And what we see is that the Holy Spirit will move. We can grieve him. He will move and he will bypass us. As in, the Lord has set everything up for us to succeed. He sent his son for each and every one of us. And he's placed a premium on our heads. He's saying that because of my son, you are special, even though you were dead in transgression. That is a fact. So we are absolutely important, so important that the Lord sacrificed his son for us. He didn't have to do that. We are absolutely important, but we're not. Scripture says that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We are important, but we're not. The sovereign will of God will occur with or without us. And he wants us to be a part of that story. But if we choose not to allow the Holy Spirit to use us, he will bypass us. And one of the images that I want to use to explain this is rivers. And one of the interesting facts about rivers is rivers move. Rivers move and they continue to bend and shape. If you can put up that image, that would be great. This is an image of a river. And we can see the meandering across. And the river, over time, is moving continuously. And it's moving for two main factors. This is not my area of specialty. But I can just simplify. The two main factors are erosion and sedimentation. Erosion in the sense that the outer bends here, where the river is flowing at high velocity, because it's soft, it can erode and forge new channels to go through. On the other end, because the river is slow and close to being stagnant, all the deposits in the water start to fill up. And you can see those edges that shoot outwards from the inner bend. Those areas start to harden. And then the water has to bypass those hardened areas. And that's what creates the horseshoe image that you can see, is that the water will move towards the softer areas and it will move away from the hardened areas. So we, our hearts are those channels. It's our hearts that the Lord uses the Holy Spirit to work across his church. So if our hearts are hardened, the Holy Spirit will bypass us. Okay? So we've seen many situations where we have a word that the Lord has put on our hearts to share. And then we're standing back and we're saying, oh, Lord, I don't want to share this word. And someone else comes through and shares the same word. And you actually feel like, I had that. No. Yes, you did, but you refused to share it. There's many things that the Lord has asked us to do. Have you been in a place where you've got an idea of something that you choose to do? You think it's a great idea and you sit on it. And in 2 years' time, someone else comes up and brings that idea to life. Things will always bypass us if our hearts are hardened. But the good news is that Jesus actually wants us to be part of that flowing water. Like, honestly, that is his intention, that is his heart for us, who gives their lives just so that people can be that. No, people give their lives for something great. So Jesus has placed within us and has seen greatness in each and every one of us, which is why he gave his life. So when we are in situations where we do not flow, that is not an area that the Lord wants to see us in. And scripture talks about grieving the Spirit. Okay. Ephesians 4:30-31. Talks about grieving the Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and all, and along with every form of malice. And this is quite interesting because it's telling us that how we can grieve the Holy Spirit, how we can lose the Holy Spirit. But the area that I want to talk about, the area that is common to all of those words that we see there, the area that I feel the Lord wants to touch upon this morning is pain. I feel the Lord wants to help us. For those of us that are in an area of pain, I might be in an area of pain, but I also want to flow and flourish. And I'm conflicted. How do I deal with pain and flourish? This pain is so hard. It's sharp. It's in my soul. But God has an out for us. God has a way for us to flow out of pain into life. He has a way for us to step into something new, even from a place of pain. Pain is interesting. Arthritis.org talks about pain being a complicated warning system to protect you from harm. If my ankle hurts, pain tells me not to put my entire body weight on that ankle, so that ankle could heal. And when God uses pain, he uses it in parallel with healing. Even when the Israelites were destitute and under the wrath of God, God continued to send prophets so that they could see hope. They could see what he was doing in that time so that they could be built up. And the Jews till today would never worship idols because of the pain and the correction that they received in the time when they went to worship idols. They would never do it anymore because God sent a message. So this is what pain does for us. It's supposed to correct us. It's supposed to keep us from harm, keep us from sin. But sometimes when we allow pain to settle, pain could be traumatic. Pain could lead us to ungodly decisions. Pain could lead us to missing what the Holy Spirit is doing. God made us human, which means that he made us to feel pain. There was no other way that we were to receive salvation other than through the pain of Christ. Okay? So Christ went through a lot of pain. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was full of pain. And there was two ways. There was God's will and there was his will. And he said, not my will, but your will. And in God's will, he is glorified and we receive eternal salvation. So from a place of pain, God birthed something special for each and every one of us, similar to Jacob, who was later named as Israel. Jacob was wrestling with God and he was used to having his own way. He was wrestling and he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And God touched his hip and weakened him. And from a place of pain, he was able to withdraw so that God's will can be done. And God then blessed upon him a name that would lead to nations. It says, you will not be called Jacob anymore, but you'll be called Israel. So pain has a place. If you look across scripture, pain has a place for molding and shaping us into the image of God. It does have a place, but we're going to have to submit it to God for it to work how God intended for it to work. We're going to have to submit our pain. God is not saying that we wouldn't encounter pain, but he wants us to lay it at his doorstep. And we're going to do that today. So pain has different characteristics. It could be physical or emotional. And pain has different things it does to us. It has a cognitive dimension. It alters the way we see things. So when I'm in pain and you speak to me, I may not see things correctly because I'm in pain. That's what pain does to me. It distorts my thinking. I don't think straight, which is why I need people around me that will speak truth into my life. Pain changes my behavior. If I'm in pain, the same things that you could say to me that will bring out the behavior that will make you think, I thought he was an elder. What sort of behavior was that? But it's true. When I'm in pain, my behavior is distorted. I do things the wrong way around. I'm not always logical when I'm in pain. Esau was in pain, and it was the pain of hunger. And in Genesis 25, he was so much in pain that he gave up his birthright for a meal. Pain doesn't help us. It doesn't let us to think logically. He couldn't see what God was doing through him. And he let everything go so that his pain will be soothed. And that's the same thing with us. So when we're in pain, we tend to find something that soothes us. And then we miss our inheritance. We miss the gifts of the Spirit. We miss the things that God actually wants to do, because what we want to do is to make that pain stop in that moment. It's a natural response that our bodies have towards pain, is to make it stop, is to defend ourselves. But God is saying there is a different way. I'm going to break this down into three main things that we can do to flourish from a place of pain. The first is to accept the superiority of God's law. God's law is sovereign and it's above everything. So when I'm in a place of pain, when you're in a place of pain, you're going to have to resist following your own law in that moment so that the law of God prevails. It's important. God's law, 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. This is the same law we've been reading about in the Psalms, about it being righteous and leading us into fruitfulness. That same law is scripture. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, us, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of God. So where there is friction between us. Where there are issues, it could be relational issues, it could be financial issues, it could be marriage issues. God's law has provision on how we deal with each of all these things. Okay? So we spoke about my marriage being my responsibility. So irrespective of how I feel, Ephesians 5 tells me that I ought to love my wife like Christ loved the church. And what Christ did is that he held nothing back from the church. So I have to hold nothing back from my wife. Even though sometimes it's difficult to do that, I have to go back to Scripture and say, what does Scripture say? Because the moment that we follow our own scripture and we follow our own words, we harden up and the river will bypass us. But when we give into what the Lord is saying, accepting that the Lord of God, the word of the Lord is infallible, which means that every single teaching in scripture is flawless. It's God-breathed. It's perfect. It is telling us the truth. So what happens is when we try to boycott and we try to change God's law, it leads to something else. I don't know if anyone knows about saturation divers. I spent a long time in the oil and gas industry, and there's a lot of things that we did offshore which had to do with having human beings go into depths of about 650 feet. I don't know what the limit is now, where divers will actually go and weld pipe together and help us to install stuff. And as technology advanced, we are now able to develop robots called ROVs, remotely operated vehicles, which help us to do that in depths of 2,000 meters and beyond. But in the shallow depths, we utilize divers. And divers are more precise than robots because they know exactly what they're doing. So saturation divers will go to depths that are high pressure, which means that they could spend a week or 2 weeks at the bottom of the sea, and they would have to stay in a capsule, in a tube, that it keeps them at a certain pressure. Because at those pressures, there are gases that can go into our bloodstreams, which means that we can't just go from a high pressure to low pressure. We have to do it in stages. So they will work at that level for a long time. But when it's time to come up, even if they felt sick, even if there was something that came up, they can't just go from 650 feet all the way to the surface in 1 hour. They can't do that. So it's a day for every 100 feet. So if they were 600 feet below, it would take 6 days. And that's what has been tested. We've studied it. We know that if you do it any other way, that person's going to die. 100%. So what we do is you have to make sure that you follow the script. You follow the manuscript. That person feels sick. Yes, they do. But they're going to have to wait 6 days to get to the surface. There's jobs that people do to give us what we need that we don't know anything about. And it's a really difficult job. But the point is, they can't bypass the law. They can't bypass the process. They have to follow what's scripted, which is 1 day for every 100 feet. 1 day for every 100 feet, irrespective of how the person feels. The reason, because if they accelerate that process, the pain that that person is going to feel is going to be far worse than what they're feeling at that time. So when we apply God's law to our painful situations, it is that so that at the end of it, we are saved. When we bypass the law because we think we're in so much pain, what happens? It leads to something even worse. I hope that makes sense to someone this morning. So what is the pain that you are feeling in your life? And are you basing your decisions on the word of God, not what we are creating for ourselves? The second bit is that we have to correct our heart posture. Okay? We need to correct the posture of our hearts. Remember that our hearts are the channels, if you want to put that picture up again, that our hearts are the channels through which the Holy Spirit flows. It's through our hearts. Jesus said that from within us, rivers of living water will flow from within. So it's from our hearts. But if our hearts are not right, if we allow the sediments of pain and challenges to settle, then it could build up and it could create a hardness that God doesn't want for us. But God recognizes that these things happen. He didn't make us as robots. He knows that we feel these things. So he's created provision in his word for us to deal with them. But we need to posture our hearts. We need to come to God saying that, God, we submit. We recognize that you have the answer to every question. In this moment of pain, we lay it down so that we can apply your law, so that we can flourish and we can go and do beyond what you've called us, not beyond, but beyond what our situation is limiting us into what you've called us to do. So if you look at a lot of athletes, they've had to run or they've had to work with pain. You know, I used to watch sports a lot before. Thank God for my life. That is not the situation now. I'm no more addicted. I'm free. I'm how many months free of Man United now, babe? I'm free. I don't know, maybe it's 6 months. I'm free, really. God's doing something, eh? I can see some Man United fans sitting next to each other. They're already chatting. Yes, I've left the building. But it was taking a lot. But you recognize in sports that for a goal, they would run even with pain and strike the ball with a weak foot just so that they score the goal. But there is a goal at the end of it, and God has a goal for each and every one of us. We were talking about seeing Jesus face to face. There is a goal at the end of every single painful situation. But one of the things that stood out to me is Derek Prince was preaching on prayer, and I came into the year feeling low, and I needed to be encouraged in the era of prayer. So I picked up this book that was gifted to me, and in there, Derek Prince was talking about the posture of the heart, and he was referring to the cherubims and the seraphims. And in there, he was talking about how they have 6 wings. And with 2 wings, they cover their faces. With 2 wings, they cover their feet. And with 2 wings, they fly to attend to the needs of God. These are beings created by God that serve at the throne of God. Okay? What he was drawing our attention to was that they've got 3 pairs of wings, and with 2 pairs, they use it to cover themselves because it's an act of a holy reverence to God, recognizing that how dare I stare into the glory and the majesty of the living God. So they will cover themselves, they'll cover their feet. You know, we cover our feet constantly. Why do we do that? Not just to protect our feet, but it's not necessarily, I don't know about you, but my feet aren't the greatest part of my body. Yeah, so sometimes we cover our feet, we cover our heads because we are revering God and we're saying that we're not worthy. We're not worthy to come into his presence, that we don't have great feet. We're not perfect beings by any stretch. We cover ourselves, we clothe ourselves in the garments of Jesus, in his protection and in his salvation in order to come into the presence of God because we dare not. And if you listen to the prophets, when they accounted God, even down to John in Revelation, there was a falling flat about that. They couldn't look at God. So it's the same. But what he was saying was that a lot of people are serving with 2/3 of their wings and revering with 1/3, which means that they've turned it the other way around. So we turn our service into an act. We come to church every Sunday. We make ourselves look like everything's okay, and we continue to perform until a point where we just absolutely fall off the cliff. And what we're saying is that we don't want that to happen, so we want to remain in a place of, actually, God, this is all about you. It's not how I sound. You know, at the start of this, I wanted to say, I might sound disjointed, but look for what the Spirit is saying. You know, when preachers come or people are talking, sometimes you're saying, how do they sound? And how good are their illustrations? You know, do they sound powerful? It's not about that. When you hear the word of God, you look for every single opportunity to grasp the food of God and eat it and allow it to create life in you. It's not about the preacher. We're just human beings like everyone else, nothing special. But God is speaking, and when God speaks, we want to be wise to take what we know the Lord is saying and to put it into practice. And the word for that in Scripture is wise builders. Wise builders are people who will take the word of God and put it into their lives. So as elders, we will give an account for the church, but God will speak to you about your decisions. He will speak to you about what you did when you were by yourself. He will speak to you about how you prayed to him and how you served him. Did you serve him from a place of selfishness or selfish gain to look good for fame? Or did you serve him because he is God and he is to be revered and he is beyond each and every one of us, and we just want to lay down because we see how high he is, because it's all about him? What is the posture of our hearts? The last part is the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 44:3, he said, "For I will pour out water on what? Thirsty land, and streams on what? Dry ground. And I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." So there's some words that are, the word is very poetic, and it's just rich in every single dimension. So we talk about thirsty land, we talk about dry ground. Anyone here on thirsty land, dry ground, painful situations? What God is saying is that he will pour out his spirit upon us, on our children, and his blessing on our generation. That's what God is saying, that he will pour out his spirit on dry ground. So being in a place of pain does not exclude you from receiving the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Lord is saying, blessed are those who recognize, who are poor in the Spirit, who recognize the need for my Holy Spirit. Blessed are those. Because for those who think that they're okay, then the Spirit will bypass them. So the posture of our hearts and recognizing the need for the Holy Spirit is absolutely key. And even when we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, there is an expectation that we continue to receive the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? By prayer, by praise, by being in the Word. Not just reading words on the page, but asking God, may I encounter your Spirit? So when we read stuff in the morning in our quiet time, and we are actually going about our day, there are times when there is ding, 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 ding. This is what you read about this morning. God is saying that you should be bold and go into the nations. And there's this opportunity that you can share the gospel. And you hear the word, Matthew 28 is in your mind. And there's that situation where you can share the gospel. But you go the other way. So we need to put what we read into practice. Now, don't get me wrong. I am still a learner in this. Sometimes I actually think, what qualifications do I have to speak to you about this? Because I'm still trying to build myself up in following the Spirit. I'm still learning. But I feel the Lord saying that the qualification is by his grace, not by what we can do. So we have to rely constantly on him. And Ephesians 5:18-20, the last scripture for the day. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled by the Spirit. Be filled by the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. This morning was quite interesting. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. This morning was interesting, wasn't it? With worship. Sometimes you expect to have a band that is from one point to the other with many singers and many instruments. But God gave us two. He gave us Claudia and Ruben. He gave us two instruments. He gave us a piano, a keyboard, and a drum set. And what came out of worship this morning in my heart and what I witnessed was far more than what an orchestra would give us. Because God was working through what we had and he was pushing out what he wanted to do. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in a place where we are constantly looking to be filled with the Spirit so that even in our weakness, we can go further and do things that we can't even dream or imagine. Why do we settle? How are we dealing with our pain? Situations, what are we doing about them? Are we allowing them to sit, or are we allowing them to flow out in the Spirit so that we can do the things that we've been called to do? Are we rooted in the Word? because when there is a dry situation, trees and plants extend their roots downwards until they hit the water table. And it's important that we recognize that in situations where we're being tested, the enemy will tempt. The enemy will bring justification for our pain. It will make us feel that we're right to feel that way. But what God wants to do is saying, yes, I made you to feel pain, but it is how I want to shape your pain so that you become someone who is even greater than you were. God wants to take our pain and use it to transform us into something else. The enemy wants us to allow our pain to sit so that our hearts get hardened so that the Holy Spirit bypasses us. But we want to do well to give it over to Christ this morning. Okay, can we rise as we round up?